Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Shaw, and I'm going to talk about something today with Stelly on the startup chat that is near and dear to his heart.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
And I think that's why he wanted to talk about it. So, Stelly, you're going to have to take the lead on this. But basically, the topic is how to deal with a hyper-competitive market if you're in one. And Stelly's company, Close.io, happens to be in one of the most hyper-competitive software markets out there, CRM. So they build a CRM solution, a customer relationship management service, I guess. And, dude. Sucks to be you.
I would agree with you if I wasn't me. I would think the same thing. You know, I always tell people if somebody would have told me, like, I don't know, 6 years ago that I would be running, or 7 years ago that I would be running a CRM business, I would have punched them in the face. Like, nothing inside of me was like, yes, CRM, that's what I want to do. You know, let's go into that market. Like, nothing really inside of me wanted that. So the reason why I wanted to talk to you about this is that I've given a few talks on this subject because people have been asking me to speak about it. And I've increasingly noticed this notion of people describing the space they're in, or founders describing the space they're in, as like the most competitive space or one of the most competitive spaces or hyper-competitive. And I'm starting to think that, you know, that this is going to be a new reality where it's like, it doesn't fucking matter what you do. It's going to be a hyper-competitive space eventually. Because of the way the world works, because of the way, especially in software, where, you know, a single developer somewhere in a random location around the world can compete with a venture-backed startup in the valley with, you know, tens of millions in venture funding. And so there's just like, this is explosion of software products in many, many categories, and people feel overwhelmed by that. So I just, I have a personal story because I launched a company in an insanely competitive space, but I also feel like this is a trend. I don't know if you agree with me, but it is, feels to me like a trend. And I look at this company that does this once a year, the marketing tech space report or something. It's just I remember there's like a graphic of all the little logos of, and they have like this grid of like categorizing all the different SaaS products in all the different marketing tech space categories. And it's like that fucking chart every year is like doubling for the last 3 years that I've been looking at it. I think last year was like, it went from 4,000 to like almost 8,000. And I'm like, is it going to go from 8,000 to 16,000 SaaS apps in the marketing tech space? So I think this is an interesting subject. I'll throw in my first two cents, and then I am dying to hear your views on how to compete successfully today in super hyper-competitive spaces. For me, it really goes back to a very simple rule, which is like you need to find a customer that you understand better than most other companies in the space, that you care about more than most other competitors in your space, and that you can service in some kind of a better way or more valuable way. So it's all about like understanding the customer you wanna cater to, and there's always a niche that's underserved, or a niche that's misunderstood, or a niche that's overlooked that offers an opportunity. And then it's looking at yourself and understanding that in today's world, it's probably going to be hard to compete on features, which is something that you were able to be competitive with at some point in the past, right? You had like some special feature and it took your competition maybe a year to copy it, or 1.5 years to copy it, where today it might just take them 2 weeks and they have it then also. So features are not going to be the way to compete. Design, UI, UX is something that today more so than ever, it feels like it's easier to do really excellent in the way that companies design products and kind of UI, UX rules and best practices and innovations are being adopted really, really quickly. So just purely competing on a product that has lots of features or that looks a little nicer than other products, that's becoming harder and harder to do. So it becomes more important to be very introspective and ask yourself, who are we as a company? What do we stand for? What do we stand against? And how can we build this business and this product and the way we communicate with the world in a way that creates a very distinct brand, which then means that's your reputation. That's the way people feel about you and your company, your product, versus just the way they think about it. And I think that most companies, most teams, they don't feel comfortable standing for and against many things. They don't feel comfortable having a very strong, distinct voice. They'd rather be very kind of middle of the road. And if you build a middle of the road brand that's hard to differentiate, and now you're in a hyper-competitive space where whatever feature you're building, your competitor has a week later, then this becomes a very, I feel like a very hard battle to win and to even fight. And that's why I think a lot of companies are struggling. When a company tells me they're struggling because it's such a hyper-competitive space, that's not a good reason to me. And so circling all that back to us, to just give a very concrete example, the reason why we became very successful in this space was that we had built a very different product than all the competition for a very specific customer. And even within that customer, we hyper-focused on a stakeholder that everybody else was ignoring or didn't value as much. So we built a product that was very differentiated for a user and customer that was very undervalued. And we marketed it very differently with a very different voice. We decided to be, you know, to mainly market the product through content marketing, through teaching. And we decided that we would put my ugly face out there screaming at people all day long so people could really humanize the brand and feel a certain way about us. And those two things, having a strong brand, strong marketing, a strong voice and point of view, and building a product for a undervalued stakeholder and an undervalued customer in a very differentiated way, those two things were the things I believe in hindsight that allowed us to really succeed and gain traction and become a big business in a market that was so oversaturated with solutions already.
Your face isn't ugly, but you can say that.
I can say that.
Yes. Oh man, I think you guys really found a differentiated opportunity and you found it early. And so I think there's two approaches and they converge at some point in a hyper-competitive market. The first approach, and you can start either way. So one approach is you find an opportunity and you build something that's resegmenting the market. So basically creating a new norm in the market. I think you guys did that, but you didn't have a full-featured CRM at the time. And then now you are evolving into what I would call a much more full-featured CRM, and that's what you've been doing for the last few years. So one way to start is you find something differentiated so that it's easier to build than building the whole thing first and copying, you know, everybody, which is what I call parity. So in a competitive market, your product needs parity. Parity means basically it does all the things people expect of a CRM. Now, if you have one innovative as feature and you figure out how to front load a lot of research or a lot of intuition or whatever, you get lucky. I don't know. There's many ways to go about that. And you figure out the opportunity. I think for you guys, you were in the market. You guys were in the market being salespeople, running a massive sales team for many different companies. And you learned a ton about what is required and you found an opportunity to build something. That's the way I look at it. And what you built was differentiated in the market for a very long time. Like even 3 months is a long time, but like six months, a year, maybe even longer. Differentiated in the sense of people thought of you when they thought of wanting that, and that was what helped a lot. Now there's two things that are happening for you guys. One, you're doubling down on that thing and creating the next generation of it. That's what I see in the new feature launch you're going to do soon, which I'm sure we'll talk about in the future. And then you also have built a much more full-featured CRM in the process. So that's how you approached it. A second way to approach it, which I would say is more like Zoom, which is the web conferencing service, is that they created a web conferencing, like a web conferencing software that was really, really good and had parity with the products in the market, meaning it had all the features the other products had. But in a bunch of areas, it was just 20, 30% better, maybe more. And one of the areas was like they had a free plan. It was very generous, but it was very smart about how you can only do 45-minute calls with that free plan. So, you know, at webinars and all that stuff, they're 1 hour long at least, at least. So, wow, that was so brilliant, right? And then they had a limited number of participants you could have and all these things that made it so I would use it. But if I really wanted to use it, I would have to pay. But I can keep using it for free and be relatively happy with some constraints. So that created this like urgency and this need to upgrade at many different points of using the product. So that was a brilliant like innovation, I would say, in that market of giving the product for free, making it easy for someone to try that product in a competitive market. So to me, those are two ways. One is you build all those features first and you basically are like Zoom and you figure out the things you need to do a little bit better, a lot better, whether it's for the business model, the strategy, or the product itself. Or two, you innovate and you start with innovation. And then you realize eventually you have to get to a place where that innovation, you're constantly improving, but at the same time, you're also building out the full featured version like everybody else has. So that's my take on how you do it and how you compete.
I love it. I couldn't agree more. Let's end the episode with this last tip from me, like because everything you said is absolutely right and brilliant. But the last thing I'll say on top of it, and this addresses just a certain type of person that's thinking about or complaining about the competition. If you complain about the competition and if you blame the competition for your lack of traction or success, then you deserve that lack of success, right? Nobody gives a shit. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you don't deserve a seat at the table. It's not a birthright. You don't deserve to have access to these customers and serve them. You need to earn that right. And if there's lots of competitors that do similar things than you, then that's not a reason to complain. Or if one of your competitors copies something novel or unique or valuable that you had discovered and innovated on, then you can sit there and cry, but nobody cares. Like, competition should be